Hello, everybody. This is Derek White, SkyCloud. I'm talking to you here on the internet all across the world, called Between Two Worlds. And I work as a psychic medium. And what we're going to be doing is we're opening up lines like we do every other time, every other Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Anybody who wants to call in to talk about anything questions they want to ask regarding their issues they're dealing with, or if you have a question regarding the psychic sense of it. Also, the lines that are available that are open to us, the phone numbers I'll give to you right now, call and speak numbers are toll free. They're 877-876-5227. That's for the U.S. And also for Canada, we have 888-810-8322 for Canada, and the direct line for the international direct line is your 530-876-3222. Anyways, to let you all know ahead of time, we've had quite the weather and storms up in our area, and it's been quite interesting for us. I did some traveling. I went out to a place called Slave Lake, Alberta, and worked on the reserves, doing some healing work with people, working at a diabetes conference. I mentioned about this last time I did my show. And it's been quite interesting, even coming back and meeting more people and getting people emailing me and calling me up and see how, you know, how they've been doing since they spoke the last to me. And they've been really, really appreciative of the healing that they've taken place. So I'm really appreciating. I'm really glad to hear they're doing well in recovery. And also, I'd like to say hello, everybody out there. Also, there in Alberta and Saskatchewan, Manitoba, some of my relatives everywhere else across the world. And this journey's been busy, looks like, recently. I noticed that we've had some really funky weather. First of all, I would say about a month ago, we had this snow coming down, 12, 14, 16, 18 inches of snow. It's hard to add it all up. I mean, it's way past your knee. And then all of a sudden, we get these huge windstorms and trees falling everywhere. We've had this situation of trees falling down like you wouldn't believe. It's absolutely phenomenal. I can't believe this. Our Earth is shifting big time. I'm telling you, it's shifting big time. We're going through some major changes, absolutely major changes. I know we talked about how things are moving so quickly, and they are moving quickly to a point, but our Earth shifting, yes, it's true. We went from everything from hot in the last summer, this last summer, totally dry season hot. BC's never had that before. Up in here in British Columbia and Canada, we've never had that much heat extended that length of time. It's been many years since this type of thing's ever happened. And then all of a sudden now we've got the snow. And we don't normally get snow that much. It's unusual. We don't normally get that snow that long. And we used to always call ourselves the Canadian Californians because we are so used to the tropical sense of it. And we mostly get rain here. And we still do get rain here. And then this last few days, we've been getting some major windstorms, the most we've ever had in such a long time, and they've had knocked down trees. I'm telling you, the trees have come down and closing off highways, vehicles can't get past. I'm talking about not little tiny trees, I'm talking about big trees. And they're coming down, the winds are like, I believe they're saying was 100 and almost 115 to 120 kilometers, which is about in the other, I'd say about 65 to 70 miles an hour wind, and I probably most likely wouldn't put it past even more than that to knock down a tree. I mean, my poor little dog, I was taking her out for a walk, and I feel sad for her, and she begins to start to roll away on me, but the wind was that strong. It was that strong. Now, we've never had any type of hurricane wind, but we came that close, and that was a bit bothersome for me. I was kind of worried. I was thinking, okay, this weather's really changing. And we're about 5 minutes away from the Pacific Ocean. You know, like a 5 minute drive away from the Pacific Ocean, not too far away from the ocean. So, you know, these things do happen. And anyways, like I said, the weather's changed for all of us. We talk about Earth shifting. A lot of people actually have talked about Earth shifting a lot. and, you know, how the north and poles and the south poles have shifted, and it's actually moving on its axis, so to speak, is changing. It has. And where our weather is changing, and it's changing to the point where a lot of things that normally would get where we not supposed to get or do getting, and, like, you know, it's vice versa. It's almost like a cat 22 cent type of way. But you can never really predict the weather anymore. You can't really predict what's going to be lasting long enough or short enough because it's fully phenomenal. But I will say this. We talked about this last weekend. There is not going to be an end of the world, by the way. Sorry. Thank you very much. My mother taught me that many years ago. And I will believe it in my heart that there is not an end, even if it's the year 2010 to 2012. The only thing that I find would be an absolute change is the 2010, which basically will be our Olympics here. It's happening here in Vancouver and BC. They're going to be all over parts of BC. So a lot of parts of our provinces are going to change. And the housing industry is changing. The population is changing. There's an increase of people moving all across Canada, and a lot of increases of and decreasing of things and places, locations. So it's been quite the interesting thing. But anyways, to go further into the show, like I said, I work as a psychic medium. I'm a paranormal investigator. I have, my job is I do help find spirits in someone's homes or places that you are guided to go to, and I have the ability to talk to those who passed over. Sometimes by first name as well as last name. And I've done a lot of traveling across Canada in some places, and I'm actually this coming next year, I'm actually working across from the border into the state line and do some work across the way. It's been a long time since I've been across the border. I'm looking forward to doing that. And having to meet some friends that I have talked to for a long time that, you know, through other radio shows, radio programs, and I have to meet up with them and travel. And I'm going to do that. I'm really looking forward to making contacts. There are some changes that are going to be taking place in this world that I've noticed for a lot of us paranormal investigators, as well as anybody who's in the spiritual field, that there are more spirits coming out into the open. They're beginning to open up so much and coming forward and having to ask for our assistance to make contact with them, because we're becoming so sensitive now that even the youth now, the children today, have become absolutely wanting to be needing help to make for us to help them through their skills. And so they were, and not as many teachers back then, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, or even earlier than that, to help assist the children how to use their gifts. But now there's many teachers out there today that we're trying to give them that little bit of boost and support and help them through what they need to learn. So there's a lot of things we'll be talking about in this show. But if anyone wants to call in, we're a little bit late opening up today. We had a bit of a shutdown of power a little bit, and it sort of, on BBS, it adjusted a few things, but we're not doing too bad. We're doing pretty good. And but let you all know out there that we're having a great time, and I'm actually, as often as I keep on looking at Dawn and Doug's radio station, their website, absolutely phenomenal. My webpage they've done for me, is I'm just floored. Looks really, really fabulous. And my compliments to them. And this show, this program, this radio station, radio show, is actually beginning to pick up even more, where people are going to be able to do a lot of things out there and to help us and help each other. There needs to be a lot more people like ourselves out here that need to be, you know, help each other out and to support each other in this field, because there is a need, an absolute need. We're never too many. There actually is a shortage still. But like I said, there's a lot of a lot of people that are coming out of the woodwork. You know, a lot of people out there want to become paranormal investigators. You know what? Yes, you may have interest in it. Yes, you have wanting to get into it, or have, you know, because we've seen some TV series, you know, like, for example, people watch this TV series Medium, they've watched other paranormal, you know, made-for-TV movies. Doesn't make you a paranormal investigator. You know, yes, you may have interest in it, but a lot of it, too, is also a little bit Hollywoodized, because you're going to know the difference between a real ghost and a real spirit compared to what you see in television. It's not the same. I've had my confrontations, And I know, I can guarantee you, there's other people that I've worked with in the field, or people that I know have had their confrontations and meetings with other type of discarnates, our benevolence as well, and telling you it's not the same as you expect it to be. But we do have our challenges, and we actually try to help assist the people to calm the home and to bring peace in the household and to bring peace in the family. So there are things out there that we need to look forward to and have fun to... actually, you know, you got to have some fun in this work. I mean, I got to have fun. I laugh at a lot of things that I see, you know, because if you don't laugh at the world, then you won't succeed very much, because you got to look at it. Sometimes we look at seriousness. Yeah, you could be serious, but sometimes you're going to have some fun. You got to joke along with the rest of the world, because spirits have a way of trying to be comical once in a while, too. They'll throw a joke in once in a while or two and to test you. And they caught me a few times. So it's, you know, when at some point they can catch you with your pants down, so to speak. I remember one. There was a fellow one time came to see me. And people talk about dreams. A fellow came to see me one time, and he said to me, "I don't know why, but I had this really bad problem." He says, "I kept looking for my pants." He says, "I had my shirt on, but I couldn't find my underwear. I couldn't find my pants." He said, "I felt so embarrassed walking around bottomless, you know, not having any pants on. I felt so naked, and I just, so embarrassed." He says, "Can you tell me what this means?" I looked at him, and I said, "Are you having an affair?" And he says, yeah. I said, "That's what it means." I said, "Your consciousness is kicking in on your dream, is making you feel guilty. So you walk around with your pants down. So you got to be really careful. If you think you're going to get away with something, you're not, because even God has means and ways to catch you in what you're doing and catch you in the act. So you got to be really careful, because they'll slip in those dreams or once or twice in your thoughts and making you feel like, take notice there, guy. Take notice. You know, you think you're going to get away with it. You're not." So... anyways, why I called my show Between Two Worlds. People used to ask me that question. Well, you want to make contact between two worlds, between the living and the dead. Well, there's one for you. Who's the living and who's the dead? I think we're called the dead. I think we're the walking dead, because a lot of us have no idea. A lot of sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we think that we can't do things in this world. We're almost like the walking dead, because sometimes we feel like really tired and exhausted. Yet in spirit, you're not exhausted. In spirit, you're constantly busy. And there's, you know, I feel that what our learning lessons are is when we're born in this world, we are from there in spirit, born in this world, learn our lessons, go through our physical school, and then we go back to spirit when we pass. And that's what we call the recycling of life. We keep on going around and around and around. We learn that cycle. There's a lot of learning lessons out of that, and we have to learn what we go through, whether it's through pain, happiness, guilt, loss of loved ones, tragedy, love, you know, different types of emotions we go through, and physical emotions, and how we can overcome these. And this basically is a learning lesson for all of us, and to understand what the journey is all about. So it's important that we become a better human being at our work, and not having to worry too much about, you know, well, I can't be a supermodel, or I can't do this because my body parts are kind of just falling apart, and that part doesn't look great. I'm not happy with my nose. I'm not happy with my hair. Or my eyes. Well, I want to look like somebody famous. You know what? God gave you a gift, and that gift is called the human body. And you got to learn to respect it and treat it well. But if you don't respect the body, how can it live? How can it survive? And how can your mind keep focused on taking care of you if you don't know how to take care of it? So you are responsible for taking care of the physical things, that's including the body itself. And I don't care how old you are. You learn by your own responsibilities and by your own peers. And so we learn by the responsibility of life, and it's called free will. God's given us that. So we have a lot to learn and a lot to work on, and I'm looking, and basically this is what we all look forward to enjoying using our skills. Now, what I call the world, what I call the show called Between Two Worlds, because I make contact between two worlds. But my gift, my name was given to me, White Sky Cloud, and it means the one who sees the other side. So it's where my vision started as a cloud, you know, where we always see heaven looks like a cloud. Angels look like they're in heaven. That feeling and emotion, I just know when something begins to open because you get that cloudy feeling. And, you know, some people say, well, I love clouds. I love looking at clouds. And they are very fascinating, absolutely fascinating. You can shift a cloud. You can make energy. With your own energy, you can make a cloud move just by trying to visualize what it would look like as far as an animal is concerned. I'm sure a lot of you people out there, when you were kids, you used to lie on your back on the grass or out in the field somewhere, and you look at, or else you're sitting in your car, and your mom and dad are driving down the road, and you get nothing else better to do but look outside, and you see those clouds, and all those huge cluster of clouds, and they're just sitting there in the sky, and you think to yourself, what would they look like? You know, one looks like an elephant, or is it a rabbit, or is that a dog, or something else? You know, I mean, there are so many things out there that we always were fascinated by. And we start recognizing, and then we start to get involved, you know, to learn about the eclipses and learn about the universe and learn about to experience the coming, you know, the stars and all that. So there's so much for us to learn. And I look forward to being part of that and having to go through the experience, having to see what we can do and become successful at it. And I feel that once we learn to overcome our indifferences with each other in this world, and we imagine that that elephant is no longer in our way, we imagine that that rabbit is no longer brings fear within our path, we imagine that that wolf is our teacher, we imagine that the horse is teaching us how to deal with our freedom and not running away from our issues, we imagine that we are the buffalo, begin to look forward and barrel through, but yet we're quite spiritual. We imagine that we're the eagle. We like to fly like the eagle because the eagle is so proud. And yet Christmas is coming and people talk about the turkey. They're going like, well, why is turkey so important to us? Why do we feel that we have to eat a turkey? Well, if you think about it, the turkeys are actually very, very smart, very intelligent birds. And they're very noble as well. The turkey, in our tradition, they're called the giving eagle. That's why we always call it Thanksgiving, or we give love back to each other, share back and forth our spirit, or share back and forth our love, or share back and forth our friendship, family togetherness, and even including our enemy. And there has been a lot of historical past through other countries that have fought amongst each other, and they would be in the middle of a war, and they'd shoot and kill because they're told to. But when it came around Christmas time, and pretty well almost everybody recognized Christmas, and when it became Christmas Eve, the fireworks, the firearms, the explosions, the pain, the anguish, the hate changed. That time brought together mankind. And the word Christmas means Christ, the mass. That means that we come together in masses. We come together as brothers and sisters. We come together as human beings. And we come together as having to say, I don't want to hurt you right now. I want peace. Because the birth of a Christ, the birth of a child, is recognized as important to us. Whether some people don't believe in it or not, I don't care. But what it means, really, is peace. That's why Christ was born, to bring peace in this world. It had nothing to do with who's better than what by any Christianity belief system, by any religious means. But it meant peace. And people have forgotten what it really meant. And that's why when I talk to people about being in a between two worlds, because even in the physical, we're between two worlds. We're between two worlds in masses regarding religion. We're between two worlds in masses regarding our races. Some of us even have mixed races within us. Myself, I'm Algonquin, and which basically my ancestors go back to Pocahontas. Yes, it's true. My great grandmother is Pocahontas, and her name was Rebecca Rolfe, my grandfather's side of the family, my mom's side. I got the documents to prove it. I'm proud of it. I have no, I guess you'd say, nothing negative about it because I'm part of that. But a lot of my Aboriginal background, too, is also my grandmother's side, which is she's Ojibwe. And then there's my father's side, the family, which is English and Austrian. And it's kind of cool because it's funny that you're between two worlds. You're between two races. And yet our races fought against each other in different generational times. You know, between the England and the Irish, or England and Scotland, or between England and Europe, or between England and the First Nations, which we call the first North American Indians. There was some, and yet here we are. Here is a mix of my race in my body, in my blood. And do I hate my enemy? No. Do I get upset because people hate each other? Yes, I do. I don't like it. So when we put these programs on, these radio programs on, it's important for us to share our wisdom and to tell our stories that why we're here, you know, and I don't want to be caught between two worlds. I want to be a part of it. I want to share my stories. My dad's side of the family, Austrian side, his great-grandfather was the king of Austria. And it was true. He was the king of Austria. And his great-grandmother. But they didn't stay in Austria long enough because there was a war then, and they were given this opportunity to leave the country, so they left the country and they came into Canada. But yet, his great-grandfather did not make it, but he died on the ship on the way over, but his brother took over his mission of being the king. But when he got to Canada, there was no more royalty connection to him whatsoever, because basically there was no recognition of it. He became like everybody else, just a human being. The interesting part is that when my great uncle, when his wife, where he married his brother's wife, my great-great-grandmother, they became farmers, and they're working in the fields. And I remember my great-great-uncle, my dad telling the story that his great-great-uncle, was sleeping in the field, and I guess he slept up against one of these called thrashers, and he's huge. Some of you out there that knows what a thrasher is, the old, old, old thrashers back in the 1920s and 30s, those things are like they look like a giant, bulldozer with one flat wheel underneath, you know, like one straight, with no rubber, it was all metal. And I guess he was tired that day, and he just fell asleep behind the thrasher, and I guess everybody's gone for lunch. And they turned the machines off, so when he fell asleep, when they turned the machines back on, they rolled over him. And they didn't know it, because the machine started up on its own, so... You know, tragedy does exist in families, and very unexpected ways. Sometimes people call those freak accidents. But we also go through different types of tragedies in life, and we try to deal with the experience. And people find it most difficult. They don't understand why, but they do. They try to work through it. And a lot of people I've met in my time have dealt with different types of deaths and passings and loss of loved ones. I mean, there was a couple one time that came here for a reading, and I believe it was a mother and a son. And I made contact with another one of her siblings, or one of her children, to say, that passed over. I kept looking to her, and I said, I don't know why, but I kept seeing his legs missing. But I wasn't sure if the guy had diabetes, but I kept saying his legs are missing. But I feel like I had legs, but I don't have legs. And then I said, how did he pass? I kept saying water, but legs, but I don't understand it. And she says, a shark got him, took his legs, right there. But yet he still survived. And then he died after. He bled to death. But in a way, the way it sounded like, he never felt the pain because it was so quick. But he stepped over and he was happy where he was. We deal with tragedy in different ways. We deal with tragedy we don't understand. And we have our brothers and sisters out there, loved ones that are died through 9/11. Over 5,000 people have died in that building, in the tower. And they're still starting to find more parts, body parts, belonging to who they'll may concern. To this day, they're still digging them up because they're bound determined to put that brand new tuna towers up there for whatever they decided to build. But has anybody ever bothered going down there to do a paranormal investigation to see if they actually can make any contact with their loved ones? I don't think so, because people are afraid to know the truth. There's so many times that we want to make a contact. It should be done. Somebody who's ever decides to use their brain, take a trip down to New York. If you haven't done it, do it. Go down there and do some paranormal investigating. Go out there at night. Not on this construction site, but a place where it's safe. Get permission and all that. But guarantee anybody who's a medium, go on site, you're going to make contact. Using EVPs, using machinery. You'd be surprised how much you can actually help people heal that way. It's not a bad thing. It is a good thing. You're bringing peace of mind because a lot of people still don't know if their loved ones still went missing and how they passed or if they're at peace, because a lot of people don't know if they're at peace. And most of them are. When they step over real quickly, they give their lives for us because there's a reason for it. And yet we don't know why. People always say they ask the question, why? Why did I lose my loved one? Why 5,000 people? Why this tragedy? I'm not going to go with this Nostradamus theory. I'm not going to go with any other kind of theory. Is this that basically it's been put into place. Always was, always has been. It's put into place. We make that choice. Whether we choose to make that journey to that tower, make that journey to go to anywhere else, we go to that journey. And there are people out there actually that were stopped, prevented from going to those locations before that tragedy happened. And even the people that crashed in the plane, in the airline, that crashed on the White House grounds and other places. There's all types of areas that we've dealt with losses of loved ones in all locations. But they've forgotten that 9/11 was not the only part of the world that lost loved ones. They've forgotten that we have our military, that they lost their lives on the battlefield. And I'm not talking about what has happened now, but the ones that lost their lives in the battlefield before Desert Storm. Whatever happened to our guys in Desert Storm? Where are they now? There are so many that have passed away after Desert Storm because of the viruses that were put out there. There are so many things. Whatever happened to them? Things not kept. No one's ever been talking about it. That needs to be shared. What about some other tragedies across the world that a lot of people have lost their lives through earthquakes, tsunamis? We don't talk about that. All of a sudden, it's quiet. Do paranormal investigating out there. See where that loved one may be. You'd be surprised what you learn from it. New Orleans. We had the Great Flood. Again, another tragedy. That needs to be talked about. That needs to be shared. And we need our paranormal investigator guys out there to tell the story. Where do these people go? Where are they? What's their name? There are some good ones out there that can do the job. That needs to be shared. That needs to be talked about. We can't walk away in silence. We cannot walk away in silence. And that's why I said there's so many paranormal investigators and so many psychics, so many mediums, so many healers out there that are coming to us, and even the young ones now, even the children are coming to us and saying, I'm having these bad dreams, and I don't know why. people are coming to me, I don't know who they are. Part of it's based on, could it also be based on their past lives? But also, too, the innocence of a child, when a spirit has passed, will come to that child because they believe that child is its most beautiful light and become a receiver and a recipient, and that child wants to be seen. That spirit wants to be seen to the child. But the child does not understand why. Even though his higher consciousness, that child will recognize the insight, but the child doesn't know what to do. So it comes to the mother and the father. And the mother and the father can also be in a Christian lifestyle, which basically sometimes they don't believe in what we do. So then next thing you know, they take the child to a doctor. I think there's something wrong with the child, with physical needs or mental needs. But there should be something set up in the industry, not the psychological sense of it, but the spiritual sense of it, that there is someone who actually can help that family and help assist, because there are some people out there to this day that have forgotten what it's like to lose a loved one and not know what to do with it. And that's why a lot of us out there, too, help work as grievers. We help the people go through the grieving. We have professionals in the field that are grief counselors. We also have psychics and mediums that we're also considered grief counselors, because we're trying to help them understand you have lots of loved ones, but you don't know what to do with it from there. And it becomes difficult for people sometimes. They don't know what to do with being loved or how to be loved. And I find it, when you learn the lesson, and learning your lesson is the fulfilling of life, fulfilling your dreams and fulfilling everything you desire to do, that child needs to learn the lesson, whether he or she does not have a mother or father, or only one parent, or a single parent, or you go through the understanding of learning the lessons. God teaches us so many different emotional openings and awakenings. We've come, we don't know what to do with it. And so here again, the teachers come in again, trying to teach that child how to use his or her gifts. We don't know, we're not too sure if we can actually handle it. Some people actually have fear, thinking they may fail, or feel become a fear, take on fear as a failure in life. Well, guess what? Don't fear what you don't see. Have faith. What you can handle. What you choose to handle. What you can do for yourself. You'd be surprised what you can do. There have been so many people out there to this day that have overcome their emotional changes. I mean, basically, I'll give you another example, too. Some of the criticisms, some of the critiques, but some of the I guess it's a judgmental in life, I find is very offensive. That is, since 9/11, we've never had so many religious organizations so upset with each other that they're willing to pick on someone famous. And if one person criticizes of a certain religion, everybody jumps on that person that calls them every name in the book, that he or she's a failure, and he or she should publicly apologize what they say for what they say, what they did say wrong to that particular person or group. Person's in a drunken stupor, he doesn't understand what he has said, she doesn't understand what she has said, but yet, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, oh, well, he or she is a bad person. What about the people that are the biggest? What about the people that actually have bastardized their religions for generations? Did they ever apologize? No. Did the Ku Klux Klan apologize? No. We didn't chase them down and say, you have to apologize to us for what you've said. You're offensive. No. Like I said, since 9/11, I've never seen so many people jump on each other, and all of a sudden they turn to Christmas and say, or like turn to a religious day or even a holiday that's not connected to any political person, but to a religious understanding of a birth of a child, or a celebration of life. Christmas has been insulted and assaulted for generations. But people never question Christmas. They believe in what Christmas meant was the coming of nations, the coming together. It had nothing to do with some people calling it a pagan wearing a red suit and white fur and calling him that. That's not right. You can't say the words Merry Christmas, can't say this, can't say that. If we do say that, we may offend somebody. Get over it, guys. We're not living by religion. We're living by having faith. We're living by having a life. We're living by this world. We need to come together as brothers and sisters to basically come together as a nation. This has nothing to do with religion. The whole world argues over religion. Who's better than who? We all still come together. We all have different parts of the world. God gave us a world. He gave us continents. He gave us areas to live. He gave us a choice where we want to live, by color, by creed, by voice, by language, by anything you want to live by, your color of your eyes, what you want to say, who you want to say it to. But did God ever say to you that it's wrong to say this? He only put 10 words down, 10 lines of things in a Bible that you should not do. He advised you not to do, recommended not to do. Those were his commandments. That's all he asked for. The rest of the book itself in the Bible was considered one of the most dramatic, historical lifestyle that people have lived, and we learned through experience. It is a story, about people that have lived for generations past. And all they're saying, all God's saying is that we learn by experience what we learn and what we read by what these people did in the past. Now, one part you can learn by not wanting to be like the same person what they did in the past and making their mistake. For example, Cain and Abel took one's brother's life. Okay? We're learning by the mistake but not take one person's life. But we still do. People still take people's lives. And yet God says, thou shalt not kill. Hello? And you call yourself Christian? Thou shalt not use a religious idol again before me. Okay. We have so many different types of designs of idols that we use. But yet, what do we do? Nobody's judging it. People are saying, well, mine's better than yours, mine's better than yours. And then we start passing laws all across the European countries and say, you can't do that. Well, you know what? Get over it. Why are you judging each other when you need to look at your own backyard? Start seeing what you guys got to deal with. When I work in the paranormal field, and when I work as a psychic and work as a medium, I'm talking about people's lives and where they're going from here. Because Spirit guided me too. And they guided you. And whether it doesn't always take me to do the job. But my job was to not born to be a professional psychic. My job in the beginning, I thought, was going to be like a carpenter. I was interested in being a carpenter, and I had interest in doing all kinds of fields. I mean, I did all kinds of jobs that I've always had interest in doing. Being a DJ, number one. Here I am. Still here. Having a great time doing it, too. But there's so much to learn in this life, because even I learned my lessons. Thing is, I feel sad for some of the people in this world who judge others. But yet, you need to also look at your own backyard before you judge others. And that's important. I've dealt with it, and you can be angry. People can phone in, people can email me and say, how dare you, how dare you. But you think about it. Think about what you guys have been doing. Not you people that are sitting there listening to the radio. I'm talking about people who call themselves the better ones. They think they're better than everybody else. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about if you think you know so much, if you think you know everything, then do something about it. Instead of sit there and gripe and cry and complain, do something about it. Because I get off my seat and I do things. I do. We all do. We all have to. We can't sit there and wait for somebody and cry and complain. If you're going to cry and complain, who's going to listen to you? Talk about it. Tell people what you think. Tell people how you feel. I'm not talking about through religious means. I'm talking about how you feel, that you don't want war, that you want peace, that you don't want to kill people. You don't want your relatives out there killing people. This is the old times. It's like we're going back into the Arthurian time period. We're going back to the caveman days. We're still out there trying to kill each other. Ridiculousness. Well, for what? Because we lost 5,000 people? Well, can you really prove that these guys really did it? Can you really prove? Do you want to believe that they really did it? It took only just a few handful of few men to crash into two towers. I had a man come in front of me one time, 3 days before 9/11, come to see me. I told him these words. I said, before you go to work, before you decide to go back to work, I said, you need to take a vacation, anything, just stay away from the job. Don't even bother going to work. Take 2 weeks off, 2 months off, I don't care, but just don't go to work. Stay away for a while. At least you need a vacation. That says to me, I got a $2.5 million deal to deal with. He said, I got to be there for that. And I said, no, it's not going to work. Nobody's going to make contact with you at the moment. You have to be, you have to wait for it. Just take 2 weeks off. Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. Now, he's taking my word for it. I have a $2.5 million contract. 9/11 comes around. The next day, the guy phones me up. He says, Derek, you freaked me out. I said, why? He said, because I used to work for the New York Stock Exchange. Okay. Now, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, now what do I say? Well, Spirit got me to save a man's life. But why just one? Why not all of them? Because some people will listen and some people won't. People feel their jobs are more important by listening than having to slow down. But we also make sacrifices in this world. God allowed this to happen for those who choose to be in this world for a length of time. That length of time is by birth contract. Before you're born in this world, you have a contract with Spirit. You learn by your issues, you learn by the mistakes, you learn by what you need to go through. You either live a short life or a long life. I was born to be born in a short life. When I was 16, even when I was 8, even when I was 18 years of age, I was killed in a car accident. I wasn't supposed to be living this past 18 years. I'm now 50. I start seeing things more and more through the years. But when Spirit came to me ahead of time and told me that, I had a choice to leave. I didn't have to stay if I didn't want to. I chose to live. I wanted to see the year 2000, and I did see the year 2000. I had another medium told me a long time ago, and said to me, you won't live past 43 if you don't take care of your health. You might end up getting diabetes. Okay? I made sure I took care of my health at the age of 43. I'm 50 years old now. Because I listened. What Spirit gave me a message. If you listen to what Spirit guides you, what God guides you, what people tell you, give you advice, listen to it sometimes. But trust it and filter what feels right for you. Not by somebody else's word and said, you have to. It's what you feel. If you want to be a sheeple, that means sheep and people. You want to be a follower, or you want to follow your own, want to lead your own life. Because you make a choice. That's what it's all about. And it's been interesting. The whole world is listening, and the whole world will listen. whoever wants to hear this and listen to this, this reasoning, this understanding, it's nothing to do with criticism. There's nothing saying it's bad for what I did. What I desire is what Spirit says. But they don't desire to see a war. They don't desire to see anger. They don't see a desire to see their fellow brother and sister to kill each other. They don't want a war and anger and frustration and say, I hate you because you're my enemy. I hate you because of this. And criticize your religion. They don't want that. They want you to tell you that there's nothing but love. Unconditional love in this world. And that needs to be shared and needs to be held. Once in a while, it doesn't hurt for you guys to get together and just stand next to each other and say, you know what? You guys need a good hug. We need a hug. Because the hugs are important. Because you're telling someone you care. And you hug those heart to heart. You hold those people close to you because you care. Because love is important in this world, not hate. Again, we learn by our experiences and the peers of what we deal with, learn to differentiate what love and hate is. A balance. You know, the black and white. People live by the black and white once in a while. The yin and yang. I call black and white. We'll look at the colors. Not as a race, but the balance, like salt and pepper, spice. We learn by that what to decipher, what feels right. There's so much to learn in this world. One thing I learned from my elder many years ago, he says that you have three paths in life. You have a long path, you have a short path, and you have your own path. What path would you choose? I told him, I'll take my own path. He says, then it's yours. He said, but if you choose a long path, and you're showing fear, you don't know what to do, you're afraid to see your future, you're afraid to make mistakes. And those mistakes are only considered as learning experiences, that's all. Short path is because you're trying to get over and done with the program really quick in your life, you just want to see it. You're also again afraid. Just get over and done with, you know, like, well, I just want to get a boyfriend, I want to get married real quick, and who cares, you know, just get over and done with it. It's going to have to work so hard for it. Well, we need to make the choices. We need to make the experience. We need to try to make the best of it. And become successful. Believe in your heart. For those of you who want to phone in, you're more than welcome. The phone lines are open. You can always tell me how you feel about what I'm saying. But it's a learning lesson. You learn by life. It's strong. The Spirit comes to me in many different ways of helping people open up their eyes and not to have fear. And that's what I work on, is not having fear. But I like to learn on more like living, how about having faith. And I enjoy that. We're getting close to shutting her down. And on this show, Between Two Worlds. And it's going to be a really interesting night for a lot of people who can learn about what it's like to be in this field. I train a lot of people in my home, those who want to learn to use the skills. And you have fun doing it. Have a lot of laughter in it. I smile when I work. I joke around, you know. And in fact, I come up with a joke one time. I told people, I said, how many psychics does it take to screw in a light bulb? Everybody's looking at me kind of strange. It takes one. Everybody stands there and walks to the light. Cute. But it helps. Brings in humor. But other than that, in closing, I'd like to thank you all for listening to my show, Between Two Worlds. I'm Derek White, Sky Cloud. I'm talking to you here in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada. And I'm on every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, Pacific Standard Time. And the basically the show is about your spiritual journey. So if any of you guys out there ever want to call in any time and make that call, make a call or email me. And my email is whitesguycloud@yahoo.com, or my website is www.whiteskycloud.com. And there's all kinds of things, all kinds of little programs and pages that I have available for you to look through, and you can actually, on my version, have a brew through it and enjoy it. You have lots of fun there's something in there, it could be something in there that will help inspire you, to help bring peace of mind in your life. And I look forward to meeting you all sometime in the future, or hearing from you sometime in the future. So, and also I have a phone number at 604-818-8375. That's 604-818-8375. And that's on, that's my phone. And I do have PayPal set up as my website. So, you know, give me a call and we can make an appointment with you folks. Anyways, it's been a pleasure, and I'd like to thank you folks for allowing me to come into your internet living room, internet dining room, internet wherever location, and across the world, and peace amongst you all, and many blessings to everybody. So say goodbye, and take care, guys. It's been a pleasure having a chat with you.